Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello and welcome to Wrestle Culture. Boom, 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 boom. We doing Big E in, we cashing in. Check it out now. Big E in wrestling. We doing Big E in up in WWE. It's just that Wilbo man, Phil C and Adam Cleary.
Sorry, that's not... Right. Before we went on there, he went, I'm really sorry, it's not as good as last week, by the way. He's put bars in it. He's put custom bars in it.
Anyway... I'm Wilbo Man, joined by Phil C and Adam Cleary to discuss all the goings on in wrestling this week. Before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts where we review Raw, SmackDown, NXT 2.0, AEW Dynamite, AEW Rampage, pay-per-views. We have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week complete with a bloody good quiz, of course, on WrestleCulture. As I said, though, joined by Phil and Cleary. And gents, Big E is WWE champion. Couldn't have happened to a nicer guy.
Couldn't have a nicer guy. Yeah, obviously nice of WWE to do a really good nostalgic playback to about, what, 2017, 2018, when anybody even remotely associated with What Culture got, you know, a massive push within their company. So really nice for us to know on a personal level that we have once again aided another crowning of a WWE champion following in the storied histories of Drew and people who are cancelled now. So that's, yeah, great. Good for Big E.
Now, obviously, it was quite a surprise to see that tweet go out sort of Monday evening from me.
To be honest, I was really annoyed when I saw that tweet because I was like, oh, you're not going to... Like, that's it. That's Xavier Woods turning, isn't it? Like, that's what that is. Not in, for a second did I believe that that was like an earnest, well, we're going to do the cash in and it's going to go well for your aspiring champion. I just thought it was like, oh, this is like... I mean, I saw people tweeting like, oh, I saw people replying to the tweet saying... Look, I love you, but please don't make me watch Raw.
Because he sort of hinted at it on SmackDown, didn't he? Yeah. On Super SmackDown last week.
And all through Raw. He was telling us, everyone he's going to cash in.
We did the Raw preview, and this was just before the tweet had gone out, and I said, oh, it's like a... You know, hyperbolic final thing. Could Big E cash in tonight? And the Dudley Boys poo-pooed it. And then I got home and went, oh, so I guess that's happening. But like you say, even despite the fact it's Big E and, you know, there's no reason to not trust him, when he said, I'm going to cash in tonight, I either thought, well, he's not cashing in.
Yeah.
Or like you say, he's getting screwed. And my mind immediately turned to, because I was like, why have they done this? Well, they've put the title match on Monday night because they wanted proper rating because of Monday Night Football and Dynamite and blah, 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 blah. That's the reason they're doing that. Plus, they're chucking a cash-in promise in there. And then I was like, oh, yeah, remember the time they did that the last time with Damian Sandow? So I just got really worried, if I'm
this
honest.
This is the thing. They've trained us to be worried in situations like this because we know we're not allowed nice things.
Credit where it's due. Swerves are good in professional wrestling. And much as we saw with the wedding on NXT 2.0, the swerve then was just... It was fine. The swerve tonight
they got
was,
married. That was the swerve.
Like, they threw up loads of flags being like, well, we wouldn't mention it on Twitter if it was actually going to happen. And we wouldn't like let him flag it up in advance because then he's never going to win it. The swerve was just, the guy said he was going to do something that we all wanted to see him do. And he did it.
That's really a swerve, though. That's in our minds, that's a swerve.
Yeah, but WWE's made us think that way. A swerve's only a swerve if you don't expect it. And I think you're 10 wrestling fans on the street.
Yeah.
What street that is. But if you find them, 9 of them will say, like, something like that. Oh, well, it's going to, well, we wouldn't telegraph that unless we were trying to, like, lead you off the scent. Swerve's only a swerve if you don't expect it. And I don't think anybody expected that.
But it's so nice to see, you know, it was slightly heelish to attack the WWE champion post-match when he's got an injured leg. But at the end of the day...
Nobody told him he was going to do it, though.
Yeah, the end of the day, that reaction was worth every penny, I think. And he... If anyone can save Monday Night Raw, it's Big E.
If anybody can save the company. I mean, we've talked about this on other things, possibly. This is how my brain works now. I can't remember if I've said this on anything officially or if I've just said it in the office. I'd hotshot it back off him. I'd kill that buzz straight away.
It was on the news. I asked you who should be.
Yeah. I'd get him straight back off. I'd get straight back off him. You popped your rating. You got your thing out of the audience. And bear in mind, someone like Big E has always, he's been a tag team act, a mid-card act. He's not somebody who was brought into the company to be a world champion. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to sort of roll the dice a bit on this. I mean, famously, that Jericho, you know, the Jericho thing, yeah, you know, years and years ago, where he beat Triple H at the start of the night but had the belt stripped off him. That was them testing the crowd to see, like, what would actually happen if Jericho won? Would he be received as an actual champion? They did it with Dean Ambrose as well a couple of years ago. If the plan is to just get the thing straight back off him, then, you know, now you know that you can actually put him in a proper world title field that builds eventually to him getting it. And you know the crowd are going to be into that. Plus, I think, as we said on the news, you have got the thing of, like, well, he did do a Money in the Bank cash-in off a dude with a bum knee or leg or hip or whatever he's got. So there's kind of a, like, bit of a question mark over this. He's not gone and won a world championship match yet the way you would like somebody to go and win a world championship match. Certainly has factually gone and won one, but you wouldn't say he's somebody who's, like, gone and won the big one. So if you strip the belt straight back off him, put him back on SmackDown, build to him versus Roman at WrestleMania, possibly winning the Royal Rumble, all of a sudden... You know, you've got the inbuilt storyline of, well, you know, you might be a world champion now. You might have that on your resume, but it was for a week and all you did was beat an injured dude by cashing in on him. Like, that's not, you know, you're not on my level. I'm Roman Reigns. You know, I've done this the hard way, blah, blah, blah. There's your story. The guy has to then prove he can actually... Look, I think, genuinely, this is a really good thing they've done. And whether they keep the belt on him for ages, that's good. Or if they take it back off him and put that as part of a storyline going into Mania, that's good also. Very rare we can say WWE have done something that has just multiple good potential possibilities with it. I don't see the bad, other than them just giving him a really underwhelming run with it and then forgetting about it and he never gets it again, which hopefully they've learned with Kofi, don't do that.
Can't take someone with endless amounts of goodwill and do that.
Yeah, that there is limits to that. Again. There is limits to that goodwill. Do you know what I mean? I'm delighted for him. I'm delighted that WWE have, like, done something that everybody wanted and done it in an interesting way.
It is surreal, isn't it? Because, like you say, it's something that we've hoped for Big E for quite some time, and it just always felt like I couldn't believe how long he'd been with the company.
Mm. Yeah, I was thinking that as well. I mean, it feels like he's only not won this title because he's such a nice guy and hasn't really politicked for it behind the scenes. Like, he's a very Vince-friendly shape in terms of a wrestler.
Big dude.
He's a very big dude. And it just seems like
personality
it seems like a no-brainer that it should have happened ages ago. But, like, from all the interviews and things that you see with him and what he's done with us, like, he comes across as the nicest man in the world, and maybe he's just not there backstage fighting for this. And it's almost like, well, here you go, here's your chance. Like, you've done everything we've ever asked of you for all this time, and now, like, go run with the ball. It's just kind of, it's just nice to see nice people get to that position.
It's weird going back and watching his early stuff, because obviously, like, the early proto-NXT, like, before it really kicked off, like, him and Rollins were, like, sort of the inaugural two champions. I think I'm correct in saying. He felt like somebody they had an eye on for being a world champion in NXT. And then his sort of debut story introduction with the whole Ziggler and AJ Lee thing, that felt like, you know, there was a bit of an eye on doing it then. But as soon as he sort of, like, fell out of that and fell into the New Day
stuff.
Did he get
the IC title or something?
Yeah, really early on.
As soon as he fell into that and the New Day stuff, it was just like, this guy isn't here to, like, do all of this. He's genuinely been put in a program he loves with his friends, and he's having more fun doing this without the stress and anxiety. Like, you know, it's not like, oh, is the needle gonna move? They put Big E in the main event. Like, everybody's, like, arse moved when they put them on the mid card because they just made everybody happy and dance. And it's just like, I know people in autobiographies and in interviews will say, well, you get into this business to be the very best and all this, but no, you don't. You get into any job to enjoy yourself as much as you can. Like, to get through, make enough money, and just genuinely be proud of the work you've done. And I don't think he's going to look back if he does go on, if he goes on to be a main eventer for years and years now, he's not going to look back at his New Day years and think, well, you know, that was a bit silly in comparison. he's genuinely gone and done the stuff he's loved. He could retire tomorrow and be delighted with his time in that company. And now that he maybe even gets to go on levels above that and do all this world title stuff, I'm going to say it again, it's really nice for him and it's really nice for the company.
That's the thing with all the New Day stuff as well, like how protective they've been about not breaking up this group. Like, yes, we don't need to do singles things and just break up the group to go on and do the singles things. And then you get those moments when they're like, they reunite on Raw and then he wins the title and they're all hugging and it's just really nice. And it's like a bunch of friends that have been through loads together that we've kind of fallen in love with through their travels on TV, and then they all come back together. And whenever it is, whenever it happens, they split up for a while and come back together. It just makes these really, really nice moments that are really, really rare in wrestling.
I will say as well, we'll have talked about it God knows how many times backstage about splitting them up and doing feuds and whatnot. Ugh. Can you imagine, like, if we'd had, I mean, I'm sure we would have invested in it because we liked them as characters and we would have wanted to be supportive, but like, we would have had, a Kofi versus Big E match where Xavier Woods couldn't bring himself to pick a side, and as a result, it was a screwy finish, and he tries to stop one person cheating and inadvertently costs the other. This would have gone on for 3 or 4 months. There would have been 2 pay-per-view matches out of it. They would have been given maximum 10 minutes to go.
Then they would have really got the triple threat match on, like, a fast lane or something.
Which wouldn't have had a conclusive end, because how do you do... Because, you know, one guy's, like, on one side and one guy's on the other, and poor Xavier Woods, he doesn't want it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you knew exactly what you would have got. It would have been really underwhelming. None of what they could have done with splitting up that group, none of that would have been as good as them just hugging in the ring when Big E wins the title. None of it would have had the same emotional impact.
No, I agree. Yeah. And there's such exciting potential for Big E going forward as WWE
Survivor Series
champion.
Is coming up, and they've just put the title on a big baby face to go up against mega heel Roman Reigns.
And you've got potentially the Bloodline versus Usos. Bloodline versus the New Day.
Yeah.
Me and the Dudley Boys are going to talk more about this in a podcast coming out tomorrow. But let's talk about the Bloodline and talk about Roman Reigns, who was confronted on SmackDown last week by the Demon.
Yeah, he's back after all this time. It's weird. I'm actually kind of impressed how they're doing this storyline in WWE at the minute, because they've somehow got Finn Balor not only intertwined with the John Cena Roman Reigns stuff, but now the Roman Reigns Brock Lesnar stuff. And then you've still got this Finn Balor character who's just like, what do I have to do to get attention around here? Oh, I know. Come back as the Demon. And it's all kind of making sense and fitting in, and Finn Balor doesn't feel that diminished from it, which I think is actually kind of impressive.
Yeah, because I think with them announcing Crown Jewel is going to be Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns, people are like, cool, so whoever he's facing at Extreme Rules, he's squashing. And then they bring the Demon back, and we all kind of feel, I sense maybe I'm wrong, but we all kind of feel that that's going to be really beneficial to, like, increase the aura of Roman Reigns. Oh my God, he's beating the Demon. The Demon who's undefeated. On the main roster. So you could do that. But also, you go, what's the Demon? If anyone can beat Roman, it's Finn Balor's alter ego that only comes out on certain occasions.
Yeah.
That you can maybe, you know, hot shot it back. I don't know, but I do like that there at least is a slight question mark going into the Universal Championship match at Extreme Rules.
There's very, very important things you're raising there, but just, we've said it so many times, like, it's so easy for WWE to just make this good. Right, and right now, yeah, there are a couple of things which the bottom of the card, the middle of the card makes no sense, but like, where it counts, the stuff that really draws people in, everything on both shows right now is very good and very interesting, and people are being used well and used effectively, and they're not taking the audience for idiots, and they're presenting them multiple different ways things could go, and genuinely, this is like, it's actually quite nice at the minute to talk about all of this. Like, For every person they've lost who persevered with Raw and SmackDown for years and just was like, I cannot do this anymore. It's not enjoyable. I only watch this because I like wrestling and I don't even like the wrestling I'm watching. For every one of those they lost, they click their fingers and just start consistently booking top stars well and having interesting title feuds with big payoff moments like Big E and big moments of intrigue like the Demon coming back. They will replace every single one of those I will never watch it again types with 4 or 5 people who are like, oh yes, it's good now. Oh, can I just enjoy this again?
It's just like Super SmackDown. I know it was Super SmackDown in its end. It's MSG and what have you. But I watched that show and thought, well, this is perfect.
It was a hot crowd as well. Like, yeah, that's the hottest the WWE crowd has been since they came back to crowds, including that very first show back, which says quite a lot, I think.
But yeah, I was just like, right, do this all the time, but with also with Raw as well, and jobs are good. And
yeah,
and then they haven't advertised in anything for this week.
So you wonder for so long how these two shows are written by the same group of people. Yeah. It makes absolutely no sense. Like any TV show network or whatever in like ever in the history of the world, if you had a writing team that were coming up with these two shows and one of them was as bad as Raw has been and one of them is as good as SmackDown has been, you'd be asking questions about what's going on.
It does make sense, but only in the context of they're only allowed a certain amount of time to write them both and they only are allowed to start one of them when they finish the first one. We'll say as well, the thing about MSG shows is they are great on the night when you watch them, but then you do wake up at like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning with a really, really thirsty, don't you? Really dry mouth. You're just hungry again, Lil.
We will talk more...
it's a Chinese food joke.
...about the title picture over in AEW and the new NXT in a second. But before that, Adam Cleary, are we going to get a wrestling union? Andrew Yang's back on his soapbox again, basically, talking about the Department of Labor and, you know, unionization for wrestlers. We talked about this literally about this time last year when they were doing the releases and the third-party stuff and blah, 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 blah. Is there ever, it's probably a ridiculous question, is there ever a chance that we're going to get a wrestling union?
Right. All I can basically base this on is every time over here, not even necessarily over here, but in other industries where you see something similar, happens a lot in the media, there's been a lot of journalism stuff like this, Vice in particular is a good example, where there just seems to be a groundswell of support within the company on certain levels, as well as a groundswell of public opinion mm-hmm. for a union. But the company is like, multinational, global. Excuses are always thrown in that, like, because we're international, we can't really have a union because it affects too many people across too many different countries. Blah, blah. There's always an excuse made. Mm. What I imagine will happen, and bear in mind, I am about as far away from both a legal expert and a wrestling expert as you could possibly hope to have in here. I would imagine there'll be a lot of noise for it in WWE, which will make a lot of people start looking towards AEW as they're like, well, what are you guys? Because you know, you're the difference makers, yeah. aren't you? You do things differently. You've seen everything that's wrong with that company and you act accordingly. I think people will start to look towards them to sort of like, you know, just I think to dunk on WWE, like, oh, well, I bet AEW will do it because the hell were you, Vince? And I think some union looking thing will happen in AEW, but like based within the company, like sort of offering them representation or offering them power of bargaining without it legally being recognized as a union, without having the power of a union. And that'll be it. And that'll be it. And every time somebody points at what's going on in AEW, WWE will just be able to go, well, that's not a union though, is it? That's as much a union as Ken Shamrock, Mick Foley, The Big Show. Who was the fourth one in that test? It's as much a union as they were.
Any chance? Like, it's weird because we were talking about this on the news this morning.
I will just say, I think that's to fundamentally be a major shift in the. I've seen that spider as well. A major shift.
I've been looking at
in
it
the current America.
And you land on the soundboard. Hang on.
A little spider guest.
Oh, you landed on the soundboard.
Bitty, whatever. Right. So I think there would have to be just a big political shift in America for this to happen because. Yes. You know, wrestlers forming a union, like...
Gives me flashbacks to Jesse Ventura and that's about it.
It's been talked about for a long, long time and nothing has ever, ever happened.
And anyone who's brave enough to stick their head up and talk about it, they suddenly get blacklisted.
So the thing about it is, fundamentally, is wrestling can't work with a union because wrestling only works really because... The exploitation of the workforce. Like, they put their bodies, their brains, their family lives, everything, like, to the detriment of just going on the road and putting on the show. And that's why you have the boys' culture, if you don't really talk about stuff. Everything. Wrestling, you know, if wrestling was the kind of industry where a union could work, then it wouldn't be pro wrestling. And that's, by the way, if you're listening to that going, is he saying that unions are bad and wrestling is good? No, I'm saying that unions are great and wrestling's the worst thing in the world.
If there were wrestling unions throughout the entire industry,
there would be no wrestling.
There would be no independent wrestling.
Yep.
Like tomorrow, there would be absolutely nothing. No independent show would run because it wouldn't.
And again, just to clarify, that's not Phil Chambers saying that unions are bad, independent wrestling is good. Unions are great and independent wrestling would rightly wither and die tomorrow as a result.
But if this was ever going to happen, it would have been at the start of AEW. If this is a group of people that have come through the system, that know exactly what the bad points behind it are, and have got, they're so annoyed with that side of the system that they're creating their own thing, And a huge part of that was not creating a union. Yeah. It was setting up a business model very similar to WWE.
Just having better business practices, which is, in effect, what you want the union for. It's to protect you against bad business practices and bad owners and mistreatment of the workforce. And for all we can say, like, oh, it'd be nice if AEW set this up, I can't see, based currently on the way they've operated so far, God, I could be wrong. You know, in years to come when the chips are down, God knows if they're going to be any better than WWE when things are difficult. But right now, you can't envisage them releasing 30 to 40 people in the middle of a pandemic when they can't get any other work.
I can see coming out of this is a bunch of ex-wrestlers doing big lawsuits against WWE, maybe getting a decent settlement out of it.
That's why I think there will be...
I don't think you'll see any current wrestlers joining on board.
I think there'll be some kind of tokenism with this. Like, I think you probably will get a lot of lawsuits from old wrestlers as... You know, more is learned every year about why wrestling is not something a human body should particularly do. Whereas, you know, in the olden days, it was just like, just toughen up, kid. That's like, that's the business, et cetera, et cetera. Whereas now we know a lot more about stuff. A lot of moves are discouraged. A lot of working practices are discouraged. Like, the performer's health is prioritized. You know, there's wellness. Imagine having a wellness policy in the 80s, for example. Although we can roll our eyes at how well it's enforced, it at least exists. You know what I mean? And as you think, eventually, there'll be so much happening in terms of lawsuits and them having to retroactively compensate people that there will be some sort of token gesture offered to the current generation of talent, if only to mitigate against these things happening in the future.
Yeah.
I just think that the industry knows how this works because we went through it, you know, last year. We've been through it on many, many occasions, and all the attention's coming on and all the pressure comes on, occasionally from politicians like Andrew Yang.
You say occasionally from politicians like me, though. Yeah. Why'd you point at me when you said that?
Occasionally from like TV shows like Last Week Tonight with John Oliver, but they just wait it out. They go, the topic will change in 10 minutes. It's fine, don't worry about it.
Absolutely.
And then that happens and they go, got over that one. No third party stuff. So I don't see anything changing. No. But let's cheer ourselves
up. Before we move on, I'd love to be wrong. I would love to be wrong.
Before we move on as well, that like the independent contractor status is ludicrous and should be completely illegal and is just...
It's one or the other, isn't it?
Incredibly wrong.
Like, you're either an independent contractor, which means you can do Twitch and do all the other stuff. And
they should not get away with the amount of restrictions that they put on the people and still call them independent contractors.
Yeah. So I'm not an employee. No. But I can't do this other stuff. Oh, no. It's like, what?
How's that?
Okay.
Well, I do think if anything...
That's capitalism, friends.
Anything realistic happens, it's probably an improvement on the working conditions and the terms of the contract. This is maybe the ban. What have you done?
Let's move on. Phil Chambers, we are getting Kenny Omega versus Bryan Danielson.
No, shut up, do the quiz. Michaels will talk about this and they'll say much better.
You've come dressed as Daniel Bryan today. What are you talking about? He's wearing a white t-shirt.
How are you feeling about this? Because it is sort of a dream match that we all hoped for from the moment Bryan was linked... Yes, I'm all right to call him Brian. It's fine.
That's the easy way to do it.
That's the only way to do it, yeah.
When he was linked for AEW, oh my God, Brian Danielson, Kenny Omega. And then we thought, oh, will they? And then they've literally gone straight to it, and it's on Michael Cidric's birthday.
Is it on Cidric's birthday?
Panic booking decision to counteract Big E winning the belt on Raw. You hate to see it.
I love this. Why wait? Why the hell wait? You've got this dream match that everybody has been clamoring for. It's obviously something that Brian himself has been clamoring for, and one of the biggest reasons that he would move to this company in the first place. Why the hell wait? And the way they've done it, I think, is also really smart, because he's like, well, okay, let's not make it about the belt. This is about who's better. I'm better than you. Like, step up to me. And just going in with that attitude. This attitude of Daniel Bryan is so entertaining as well, because he just knows how goddamn good he is, and he's there. He's like, yeah, I'm not good.
It's genuinely...
Prove how good you are.
It's such a good decision as well, because they've just done so many high-profile hires. Do you know what I mean? And if you brought Punk in and put him in the title picture, you put Brian, but like all of a sudden the company's unrecognizable. Like, they brought Punk in, they're putting him in the mid card, effectively giving him really entertaining storylines because the guy's been out, he's got to feel his way back in. Obviously, somebody you're going to want to have in a title picture somewhere down the line, but no rush on that. Adam Cole's come back. The most interesting thing about him is his relationship with other members of the roster and where he's been and whatnot. So, explore that as a storyline. But Daniel Bryan is none of this. He does not have a particularly public relationship with the rest of the roster. Yes, obviously, you could go back from the indies, you could find little bits here and there, but he's not, you know...
He was in the main event of WrestleMania.
What, that was it, you know what I mean?
He wrestled Kenny Omega once in, like, 2002 or something.
Yeah,
like, I saw that clip, he took his head off with that.
Why else would he go to this promotion? He would go because he wants to, you know, he's not there, he hasn't got to prove anything. CM Punk has to prove he can still wrestle. Yeah. Like, you know, within the kayfabe narrative of the company, like the guy, yes, big deal, everybody loves him, but kind of has to prove he can wrestle. And they played into that with the Darby Allin match. It was like, oh, has he still got? Oh, what's going on? Has he still got it? Cole is like, it's about his relationship with everybody else. Yes, Ruby Soho, you put her in the women's picture because there's far fewer narrative threads to tug on in that part of the company. But you've just made all these high profile signings. Like, you need to get some kind of like headline grabbing match out of all this straight away. And Brian's a perfect person to do it with. You haven't got to find some kind of tenuous storyline because the guy's whole thing is he's the best wrestler in the world. And if you're the best wrestler in the world and you come to a new company, who do you wrestle? You wrestle their top guy. If he was in AEW for one match, it's the match you'd book.
Yeah, and it's the best of both worlds. I think Sid said this, Phil, that you get Kenny Omega versus Daniel Bryan. Kenny Omega versus Bryan Danielson.
I'm going to start Bryan.
We need to instigate some sort of punishment in what culture if you call him Daniel Bryan. Maybe going forward from next week,
Pebble Noble.
Yeah, that's probably the best way to do it.
Starting now?
Not right yet.
I'm starting today, so okay. Off you go.
Bring back chops.
Oh, no.
Bring back chops.
But you get that, but then you also get, eventually, presumably, way down the line, whether that's Kenny Omega he faces or not, you know, Bryan Danielson winning the world title. But also, he does this, and then win or lose against Kenny Omega, he has to then start building up a record because this isn't WWE. You can't just beat the champion and go, I'll beat the champion. I'm going to be world title next.
I like that's one of the things that I really, really like about it, because if you just threw him in at the title picture, you've kind of made a mockery of your whole, real sports-based feel to it. He does not deserve a title shot. They've been really good at doing this. They've been really clever how they've done it. Yes, one or two little things you could point out, but by and large, you've stuck to this. Doesn't matter how big a deal Bryan Danielson is, he does not deserve a title shot because there are people on the roster who have built up a record to deserve them a title shot. Christian was one of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're doing it exactly the right way. All right, it's not about the belt then. I'm not allowed to go for the belt yet because I've done nothing in this company. All right, okay. But I'm still here for you. You know what I mean? So it's so nice to see the consistency whilst at the same time still getting excited.
It's the way that he's playing his character off at the minute as well. He's like, he's a massive face now because he's just arrived at the company. He's got a load of hype behind him. He's going after the top heel. One switch, really, really easy little switch, and he could be going after a Jungle Boy or something like that and switch it to heel, just the way his cockiness is like, coming out of him. And it's like he can go through the entire roster just probably switching it off and on, depending on who he's going up against. And it won't really be like a heel or face turn. It'll just be that character.
We did a podcast a few weeks back. I think it was me and Sidge doing dream matches for CM Punk. And I said at the beginning of this is pointless because I could literally sit here, open up the roster page and go, A, and then go all through those wrestlers. And
name one AEW wrestler who starts with A.
Abaddon.
Punk versus Abaddon.
Book it. Yeah. So it's the same with Brian, like you say, of just... Whatever he is right now, you can go through every single person, whether it's a Ricky Starks or a Jungle Boy, like you say.
Yeah, that's from R to J, so it doesn't.
And you can say, well, he'd be face there and he'd be heel there, and it just worked because, even when he's returning from not being able to ever wrestle again, within a year, he can go, I'm going to make you hate me because I'm going to shoot on the Royal Rumble burger or whatever it was. And chuck some sauce at people. It's just such an exciting time as a fan of AEW.
Yeah.
Great time to be a wrestling fan.
It really, really is. And this next Dynamite.
Oh boy, is it stacked.
Rampage, 2-night, 2-hour Rampage as well.
Yeah. That better not become a thing, I'm telling you. My Saturdays are busy enough as it is.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Right, before we get to this week's hashtag a bloody good quiz, we could not have the former head of NXT coverage here at What Culture on WrestleCulture without getting your thoughts on NXT 2.0. Tommaso Ciampa is the new NXT champion. We had a wedding that you mentioned. We got Bron Breakker, Rick Steiner's son in there, who apparently is already the number one contender for the title. But most importantly, we got Tony D'Angelo and Adam Cleary. What do you think of the new look of NXT 2.0?
You know, when you did the review, we could hear you doing this accent downstairs. It's fairly genuine, fairly soundproof studio, this. We don't hear people talking. We don't hear anything. We were downstairs the other day, and all we could hear were you going, Michael Hamflett! Who's this wise guy? After I'd hit the Drapini after that, it's good. Like, it's so badly needed a refresh. Like, it's not game-changing. It's not like, oh, they're going to have to move it back on to Wednesdays now because all of a sudden everything's fixed. It's good. It's a better production. It desperate for a refresh. The show felt... Yeah, it felt new and it felt exciting, and the title match I thought was really good, despite it largely not making any sense across the start of the night with LA Knight losing, and then just
sucks to be Kyle O'Reilly as well.
Sucks to be Kyle O'Reilly.
It's also the thing of Kyle O'Reilly got taken out of the match, and Sidge pointed this out, and you're like, oh, cool. So Bron Breakker, who won at the beginning, he gets inserted into it. Nope, Von Wagner's here. Yeah. Who I think is Bill Buchanan's son. Have I made that?
Yeah, something like that.
It's really weird. Matt Bloom's son, isn't he?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Really, it's still hamstrung by the problems of it's being written by WWE writers.
Yeah.
The first match in the big new thing, the main event of NXT 2.0 was a wedding, which, to be fair, was genuinely really good.
Yeah.
It had some huge pops in it. The axe thing still makes me laugh 3 days later.
I like that. That's a meme.
When was the last time you could say something you saw on a WWE show made you laugh 3 days later on purpose? Like, virtually, it was... Yeah, like, it's not that deep. You know what I mean, this? It's just, it was a better show than it has been in recent weeks, and hopefully they'll keep that going. Whether or not it's just, you know, new manager bounce like you get in football, or whether it is actually better, time will tell. But, yeah, I enjoyed it more than I've enjoyed most NXT episodes lately.
My biggest takeaway from all of this was the absolute flex of releasing Ever-Rise and then 2 months later stealing their name.
And the fact that NXT 2.0 did, like, 770,000 and... Dynamite with 2.0 in the main event did over a million, the fourth most watched Dynamite ever.
Just again, anybody remotely associated with What Culture just gets straight to the top. Straight to the
champions now, of course. BTE champs.
Yeah.
Out there challenging Renee Paquette to like place first. It's a bold choice, especially when you're fighting John Moxley that week.
Is that Renee Paquette? Isn't she like... one of the top five or so podcasters in the wrestling industry.
Oh, she's definitely
trying
hard.
Trying hard. I forget, like, because there's so much smoke and dust behind us. It's hard to see who's in it.
Hey, maybe if she keeps plugging away that little podcast that could, hey, maybe we'll let her come on the real number one.
She just needs to get Punk a few more times, and maybe she'll do it.
I'm just going to step in here as the only adult in the room. Sorry, the only adult in the company. If Renee wants to come in and do a podcast with us, even if it's just over Skype, she's got to fly over. Even if it's just over like Skype or Zoom, it's official invite. The floor is open. She can have your job as far as I'm concerned. I don't mind. Like
he's like Tony D'Angelo. Sorry, I Tony D'Angelo. Sorry. Donnie D'Angelo. Oh, go get it now, Renee. Yeah, thanks for that. Yeah, fantastic. The thing is, it's all well and good her coming over, but can she do a bloody good quiz?
Oh, he's the little idiot with his little idiot box. I love it
the
so
way his
much.
Little face lit up when he thought of that. Transition.
Like, I can do this. At what point, by the way, are you going to do the ultimate efficiency saving in the entire history of what culture and pre-record if you're a fan of this sort of thing?
That's a very good point. That's what I'm going to do next, isn't it? Anyway, this week's hashtag Bloody Good Quiz is brought to you by Adam Wilborn's son. Oh, who left this review
this
on
is
iTunes?
Weird.
Yeah. Yes.
Seems like a personal moment. Then.
Yes. If you want your name associated with a hashtag Bloody Good Quiz, and you can call yourself anything, apparently, on iTunes, leave us a 5-star review, just like Adam Wilborn's son, who writes, top class podcast, the best wrestling podcast, as it has been for years now. Just please have the Dadleys on AEW pay-per-view reviews from now on. Thanks. Which is a slight shot there off Ben Roy Turner because he did the AEW review. But that was only because the Dadley boys were working like you were on AEW.
I thought you meant only have them on that.
Oh, God.
And I was like, God, no. No. Then the rest of us would have to do the other stuff.
So it's been, Phil Chambers, it's been a very eventful week in the world of wrestling.
Indeed.
So what do you think this week's hashtag Bloody Good Quiz is all about?
Well, Big E cashed in, mm-hmm. So he would be a good topic.
Absolutely, yeah.
Or just Money in the Bank cash-ins in general.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Daniel Bryan, maybe?
Oh, good, good.
2.0, always, pretty much every single week. NXT, nice quiz about NXT. The NXT 1.0.
They're all good guesses, but in actual fact, this week's quiz is all about...
These nuts.
No, it's not. It's not, but I was really proud about adding that to the soundboard this week.
Oh, dear.
Oh, I've not added many this week. But I can tell you, this week's quiz is all about wrestling ease. We've had wrestling Adams, we've had wrestling Phils, and now we've got wrestling.
My God.
I'm drunk with power. Somebody stop me. Right, are you ready? No, neither of you are.
Okay, let's do this.
Okay. 10 questions, multiple choice. Shout out your name, wait for me to come to you. It's just for fun.
Okay, so there's like things starting with E or?
We'll go through it. But first of all, as we traditionally do, start off, I'm just going to use my last sound clip up right now.
God.
Start of every quiz, of course, we place our hand on our heart, we look to the flag hanging up, and we think of...
And God bless the United States.
Thank you very much.
Oh, we're going to be millionaires with this. We're millionaires.
As the office patter slowly seeps more and more into the podcast.
Okay, right. Okay, question one. Ease in wrestling. Okay. First question is about Big E.
Hey, there it is.
Congratulations.
The Adam, biggest true. E of all.
It's not a true or false. Okay. Question number one. Who, according to my brief internet search that may or may not be wrong.
Okay.
This week. Who did Big E first use the 5 count on in NXT?
Oh, God.
Was it? These are just generic names. These are all legitimate names from his cage ranks, though. Was it Chad Baxter, Rudy Parker, Drake Brewer, or Cable Jones?
Cable Jones.
All names, all legitimate names of people he faced in, presumably, FCW, not NXT at the time, though.
What was the second one?
Chad Baxter, Rudy Parker, Drake Brewer, or Cable Jones.
I'm going to say Rudy.
No, dear, that's wrong.
She's bad.
So what were the other ones?
Chad Baxter, Drake Brewer, or Cable Jones.
Cable Jones,
I hope it's Cable Jones. I really hope it's
can't
Cable
be
Jones.
Cable Jones, can it?
Phil, say Cable Jones.
I'm going to go with Chad Baxter.
You're going with Chad
Baxter. It better not be
Baxter.
Cable Jones.
Yay!
Is the correct answer. Chad Baxter was the first person I could find footage, at least, of him using the 5 count on. Right, question number
so
two.
So he was the first person that came up on your basically. Very quick Google search.
Exactly. I mean,
oh, you beat him. He must be the first.
Yeah, it was the first time I've seen him, so use it. So there we go. Right, question two is all about Eric Bischoff.
Hey.
Easy E.
Oh, weirdly, before you do that question, no, this is absolutely terrible radio. Nobody on the internet is going to be able to see this, but I actually saw Eric Bischoff this morning. Just crossing
what?
The road. Just crossing the road.
Tweet this to the so our listeners can see this.
Genuinely, I can't believe that's come up. I will. Ask me. Yeah, I'll tweet the picture. It was just Eric Bischoff was crossing the road outside my street, and I was like, it's Eric Bischoff.
Okay, question two is about Eazy-E, Eric Bischoff. Which of these is not a job that Eric Bischoff has done? Is it butcher, veterinary assistant, police officer, or landscape construction
worker?
This is
kayfabe,
so
really.
Sad you didn't go into baking candlestick maker.
Yeah.
This is, according to Wikipedia, legit.
So real jobs he's done.
Real jobs.
What were they again?
Butcher, veterinary assistant, police officer, or landscape construction worker. He's done
See,
three
the
out of four.
The one that jumps out there is police officer, because that's a lot of qualifications, isn't it?
Mm? Yeah, like, there's a lot to go
veterinary
through.
Assistant, you can fill in on the day. Landscape gardener, need a spare pair of hands. Butcher, she is a knife. But I don't want to.
Phil, I'm going to go with the landscape gardener thing, just because it seemed a bit wordy for you to make up that as a job title.
He's a very good point.
No, dear, that's wrong.
Is it police officer?
Yeah!
It is a police officer.
I gave you the answer, Phil, you moron.
Didn't want to take it from you.
Hogan even referenced this, apparently, when they did all the NWO stuff. He said, if it wasn't for me, this guy was going to be delivering me out of a van, which is what he did, apparently. No idea that is actually a thing. Anyway, one each.
It's actually quite a trendy job, that now, isn't it?
Like, question three.
Sounds like he just stole some meat and sold it out of the back of his van.
Question three.
This guy's delivering meat out of a van. Nobody's ordered it, but he just shows up.
He's all about the elite.
That's an E.
Very simple one, this. I thought I'd keep some of the questions short and sweet. When did the elite form? Was it 2014, 2015, 2016, or 2017?
Adam, 2017.
No, dear, that's wrong.
Okay.
2016.
Yay!
It was January 2016.
Oh, when they really? Turned early?
Turned on AJ Styles, bish, bash, bosh, very, you know, Wrestle Kingdom must have been all
Wait a minute. Is that when they started using the name, or when they just did the thing that technically made them? As a man currently sub-editing... like untitled Michael Sidgwick project, where this information may have been available and in my head. I'm going to give myself a point.
Okay, do what you like. Question four is all about evolution. Evolution.
Thank you, very good.
Question Eva Marie's evolution.
No, God, no. Although, does she make an appearance? She does. I very much thought of the first few E's that came into my head. Who was supposed to be in Evolution before he was replaced by Batista?
I can't remember his name.
Go on.
Okay, the options are... Shout your name, maybe.
Yeah.
Mark Jindrak.
Adam, Mark Jindrak.
Yay!
I was going to... You know, I should have had some bottle there, because I knew. I can remember it was Mike or Mark Jindrak.
Yeah.
And I thought if I'd said Jindrak, you would have been a dick and been like, what's his first name? Yeah. And I would have been like...
Because of the name... So it's either 2-2 or 3-2 in Adam Cleary's head. Four questions gone. Question five is about Eva Marie.
Hey, there it is.
The evolution. And I've been checking out her cage match rating, which is just anyone can submit a rating 0 to 10 as to how bloody great she is. Now I will say, I won't say anything. Okay, the options are.
Great radio.
1.36. 1.63, 2.49, or 2.94.
Weirdly, I thought it was 3-something.
Ooh.
Phil, sure I've seen it as 3-something.
Why not? I had in my head 2.62.
Ooh.
That was just my complete guess as to what it would be. So what were the options again?
1.36, 1.63, 2.49, or 2.94.
Ooh, right in the middle for you.
Ooh. I'll go with 2.49.
No,
dear, that's wrong.
The other one that starts at the 2.
2.94.
Yeah.
No, dear, that's
wrong. Was it 1.6 something? Because that's close to my 2.6.
It's 1.36. That's a lot of zero ratings on that, and then the occasional, she's a 10. Just to give her that slight bump up. So after...
A Wilborn.
Yeah. After five questions, it's 2 each. We're going to move on to another E... CW.
All right, yeah, promotion, yeah. Yeah, cool.
Wrestling East. Who was the last ever ECW champion? Was it?
No, this question, because so many quizzes, I always go, Vince McMahon. It's not Vince McMahon.
Was it Jack Swagger, Tommy Dreamer, Christian, or Ezekiel?
Adam Bell.
Well, who was that, Will Born, to your quiz?
It was Adam Cleary.
Is it Christian?
No, dear, that's wrong.
Tommy Dreamer.
No, dear, that's wrong.
It was Ezekiel Jackson. He won it on the final ever episode. They couldn't just let Christian have that. Know, he had the title. Oh, we all knew ECW was ending, and they went, put it on the guy from the core.
Of course.
So still two each on this quiz, all about, of course, wrestling. Question seven.
God almighty.
Never hire another radio person.
Look, look, I've just seen the soundboard. You've entitled that E3s.
So I may have got a bit off.
I can't believe you've done
this.
No,
question seven.
Trump.
I got bored of doing Emma, but with an E because it's awesome. So we've gone for the Mean Street Posse.
That's probably the highest density of the letter E per wrestling name ever.
Well, you think that. Wait till question nine. That's all I'll say.
Oh, hello.
Okay, question seven, all about the Mean Street Posse. Okay. Hang on, all about the Mean Street Posse. Hang on, wait a second. All about the Mean Street Posse. Okay,
sorry, do you mean all about the...
These nuts.
Question seven.
What has happened to this podcast?
Oh, it's a good job this is the last thing we do at the end of the week, isn't it? Because now it'd get done. Right. A very simple question.
Okay.
Mean Street Posse. What mean streets were they from?
Bill.
I think it
the Mean Streets of Greenwich, Connecticut.
He didn't say his name. He just went,
Oh, Adam. Mean Streets of Greenwich, Connecticut.
Yay!
No, I mean that.
Right, that's three. Nah.
Or give yourself a point in your head then. Like,
I will.
Okay, 3-2.
What were you going to say, though? What was your answer?
Greenwich, Connecticut.
No, how convenient. How convenient.
So I Googled. I Googled posh towns in the USA for no bloody good reason.
Oh, go on with your options then.
No, they were just really boring. They're like Cooperstown, New Haven. Bridgeport and Greenwich.
Greenwich, Connecticut.
Greenwich, Connecticut. Okay, question. Question.
Boy, is my comment about the highest density of E's per wrestling stable going to look silly now, I think?
Question eight. All about the Iron Sh.
Very good.
The Iron Sheik. Which beloved 80s character did the Iron Sheik recently take to Twitter to shoot on? Is it?
Pamphlet.
Is it Marty McFly? Is it Indiana Jones? Is it Gremlins? Or is it E.T. the Extraterrestrial?
Oh, God. Adam. Indiana Jones.
No, dear, that's wrong.
Ooh, the other options that's are. What I was going to say, too.
Marty McFly, Gremlins, or E.T.?
If you want my advice, Phil, I think it could be Marty McFly.
I was going to go with that or E.T. I don't think it's Gremlins.
You wrote this quiz, didn't you?
I wrote this quiz.
You're disguising your working out very well these days.
I've been working very hard. I actually spend more than 10 minutes on this quiz now.
See how iron sharpens iron?
Yes, you're a very good point.
Why would he shoot on E.T.? Why would he shoot on Marty McFly? Why would he shoot on anything?
Because he's f***ing mad, Phil.
Cheeky baby. I don't know. E.T.
Yay!
Hey!
Do you want me to read you his tweet?
Yes, I do.
I'd be honest with you, E.T. Bubba. You could have phoned home in the first 10 minutes, saved us all the trouble, you dumb son of a bitch. You need to be following the Iron Sheik.
It's not wrong. Thing is, the Iron Sheik, like so many celebrities, right? I don't follow famous people on Twitter. Like, if you're more famous than me, I'm not interested.
John Cena follow you on Twitter?
Yeah, John Cena follows me. Barack Obama follows me. Al Pacino follows me. Yes. Because whenever, like, celebrities are so rarely actually good, but when they are, so many other people follow them, it gets retweeted in your timeline anyway.
That's a good point.
I see occasional Iron Sheik tweets, and they're all brilliant. I followed him for a while, and it was just like, not funny, very good, not funny. Just let other people do the work for me.
Fair.
It's a good point.
Yeah,
right.
Don't tweet hard, mate. Tweet smart.
Two questions to go. Three each, I believe. And we might get a bit of protestation here.
Four each with the ones that we've given
you probably want to give it a second, because right now there's going to be loads of people not believing that both Obama and Cena follow me, checking it on their phone while the podcast rumbles on without them.
Oh, that should be enough time. Okay, question nine.
Game recognized game.
Slight issue here, because I'm going to be accused of bias in this question. But question nine is all about Scott
Worldwide.
Too hot.
Why are you accused of bias?
Because definitely no letter E's in that name.
Because of Phil's adoration of Too Cool. But a very simple question.
There isn't a single letter E in Scotty Too Hot.
Yeah, that's what I just said.
Two lots.
Yeah, I thought.
Two lots.
There's no one.
What? I worked so hard on this quiz. Maybe I should have been working on
these nuts.
I'm going to throw that in the Dudleys when they least can expect it next week. No one snitch. Don't tell them.
Do not tell them.
Okay.
I don't even do the whole, Adam's got a little surprise. Yes. Wait, can't say anymore. That's even worse.
Question nine. Scotty Too Hotty. What is Scotty Too Hot? What is Scotty Too Hotty allegedly obsessed with, according to Wikipedia at least?
Pussy.
These nuts.
Right.
Definitely going to get at least one comment on that. I used to love this podcast. Now it's just like speak and spell and I hate it.
Is he obsessed with insects?
What?
Disney, hats, or Christmas?
Hats is such a
Phil,
throwing because you can't hear anything else.
Phil, I'm going to go with Disney because he was definitely on the roller coaster crew with Mick Foley back in the day.
Yay! Nothing worse than adult Disney fans. Like, nothing.
But there was a really weird... You know when someone edits Wikipedia and writes it? Because it might not be true, this, let's be honest. Or someone edits it and they write in a really weird way. Not any way that... You know, sentence structure should go. And it basically said, yeah, Scotty Too Hotty, he's massively obsessed with Disney. This was revealed by, I think, Mick Foley, actually. And also, Scotty Too Hotty bought his kid a Dumbo costume before it was born. And I was like, what fact's that? What's that? What? Surreal. But he's a Disney fan, basically. I'm not even sure if a worm's an insect. I don't think it is. I just put it in there. I was like, I can't put worms in. That's too obvious. But... Right.
Oh, you said insects. Okay.
Final question. It's
more sense.
What's the scores?
I think it's 4-3 or 5-4 to you, Phil.
Ooh. Yeah, but take his imaginary point off.
But you've got to take your imaginary point off then.
Well,
4-3.
I wasn't counting my imaginary point. Okay. He's not got half the quiz. Give over.
It's 4-3.
4-3.
By my scoring.
Okay.
Final question.
To me.
To you.
To me.
Him, yeah.
All right, Barry chuckled. Jesus.
Right. Final question is all about when WWF became WWE.
That's actually quite thematically a good conclusion. Yeah.
Right, well, don't get ahead of yourself.
The answer is a panda.
You're worryingly close.
Okay.
So I thought, I won't do all the boring, when did it happen? Yeah. So I just wrote, what month are pandas usually born?
What month are pandas usually born?
Your options?
What month?
The WWF's logo is a panda.
What month are pandas usually born?
What month are pandas usually born? There's a mating season and then a...
Well, apparently, isn't that the whole problem that there isn't a mating season?
Yes. So... What month that pandas usually born? You need to get this to get to draw the quiz. Okay. Is it March, June, August, or December?
Right. Come on, Phil. Come on. You can apply a bit of logic to this, right? Because pandas...
Do they hibernate?
No. I don't think it gets cold enough where they're... Because it's like Asia, the panda, isn't it?
They don't eat enough food in when they're awake hibernate as well, surely.
The winters aren't harsh enough, surely.
Yeah,
I'm going to say this to the beat. What's these options here?
Sorry, I was reading about pandas. March, June, August, or December?
I think December.
Their eyes are different to normal bears.
Cool.
Yeah.
Phil, August. I'm going to jump in before trying to take it.
August. I've tempted with
August. At 5 months, giant pandas learn how to climb, sometimes practicing by climbing on their mum.
That's how I did it. It was your mum. That's the joke.
August.
They spend 10 to 16 hours a day feeding, mainly on bamboo.
Idiots.
But occasionally on...
these nuts.
Phil says August. Okay. Phil says August and I want to go to the pub. Jesus God.
Will you say August is the month that pandas are usually born?
Yay!
Is the correct answer. I was looking there for when their mating season is. I think it's sort of like March
spring,
to May.
I was going
to
say spring, yeah.
And then do all the stuff that they do and give birth in August, so.
That's nice.
Don't say this podcast never teaches you anything.
How many videos of pandas screwing did you have to watch?
Enough. Right. That's been Wrestle Culture. You can follow the winner of this week's quiz on Twitter at
Phil My Chambers, and you can follow Adam Cleary
at Adam Cleary CLEOI, and you can follow the man who you think just done a really weird editing cut leading to that bit of silence, but that was actually how it happened live because he was fucking over the machine and couldn't find the button. At
Adam Wilborn, follow us all at What Culture WWE. And make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts. We review Raw, SmackDown, NXT 2.0, and all the AEW shows as well. And make sure you join myself and the Dadley Boys tomorrow. We're going to be discussing Big E as WWE Champion, what the future holds for him, whether he can save WWE, and potential future opponents. But for now, this has been Wrestle Culture. My thanks to Phil, to Cleary, to you for joining us, and we will see you soon. Wrestle Culture is recorded in front of a live studio audience.
Wrestling!
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.